want to welcome all listeners today to this episode of Shooting from the Hip, brought to you by Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor shooting range and firearms training center. Just to remind you, we're located at 2031 Dryden Road in Moraine, right across from DP&L. You can find out all about us on the web at www.sim-trainer.com, or you can call us at the range at 937-293-3914, and we'll be glad to talk to you about any firearms concerns, any training concerns. I'll tell you about our upcoming classes, things we have going on at Sim Trainer. I also want to alert our listeners to the fact that this will be our last live show for several weeks. We're being preempted by the UD football games. That means that UD football is going to be on this time from 1 to 4 for the next 10 to 12 weeks, and then we will return. We'll be back on the radio right around Thanksgiving, depending on how UD does in the tournament. But that's not a big deal. We will definitely be back on the air in 12 weeks, but during that 12-week period, we will be doing some alternative programming at the range and at various remote locations throughout the Miami Valley. We're going to be setting up shop at a couple of the firearms sales facilities in the Miami Valley, in addition to having some pretty advanced training at different locations. And we want you to stay tuned to WHIO throughout the day. We'll be broadcasting about 15 to 20 commercials telling you about upcoming events that are going to be going on in place of the radio show. We also want to encourage you to send your questions to radio at sim-trainer.com, and we will certainly be more than glad to answer those via email. If you want to call us on the phone, again, at 937-293-3914 over the next several weeks, we'll also be able to take your calls. We will be keeping abreast to the various legislative issues over the next several weeks, because Congress is back in session and there's quite a few issues that are going to ultimately be decided. And I have to tell you that it's efforts like this, comments, callers like you, calling your congressman, letting them know how you feel, that quite frankly most of the anti-gun legislation has slowed, if not come to a complete screeching halt, and they're not getting any supporters and they're losing momentum on a daily basis. So that's a great thing. It's a tribute to your efforts, and I want to encourage you to voice your opinions, send emails, contact your congressman, send letters, whatever it takes, because it makes a difference. And it certainly will have an effect on the outcome. I also want to encourage all listeners to give us a call today at 457-1290. That's 457-1290 with any of your questions or concerns about firearms, firearms-related issues, and let's give you a chance to get your concerns on the air. When I talk about the effect of the individual voter, the listeners out there, I want to remind our listeners that the Dayton Tea Party has combined with the Cincinnati Tea Party. Today they're having a huge event, a tea party down at Voice of America Park in Westchester, Ohio. The event is already underway. It started at noon, but there's a big town hall meeting to be held at 5 o'clock. And if you're inclined to get involved in that, certainly do so. Just take I-75 south to the 275 Beltway and go west and get off in Westchester, and I'm sure there's going to be signs and directions to get you to where you need to be. That's at Voice of America Park in Westchester, Ohio. One of the speakers there is going to be our own Greg McAfee, who's been on the air numerous times here during the Home Improvement Show. He's a private business owner, owns McAfee Heating and Air here in Kettering, and does a great job servicing the community, and just an example of individual entrepreneur who's made it successful, and he's taking his message to the masses. So if you have a chance, go ahead and stop down there and see if there's some things you can get involved in. Continue to support the movement, because unlike our detractors who claim that it was just a bunch of crybabies complaining about things, the Tea Party movement is huge around the country, and the Dayton Tea Party is one of the largest, and it's impacting. People are listening to you, the voters, who show up at these events, and they're taking notice that you're not going to stand for the nonsense, and you're voicing your opinion, and you're kind of promoting change through exercising your free speech rights, and continue to do that. It's a great thing. Again, callers, I want to encourage you to call in at 457-1290, and I want to hear from you and see what you got on your mind. Matter of fact, we have a couple callers on the line now. Let's talk to Marcus in Dayton. You have a comment or a question about license renewal fees.
Yes, sir. I've heard conflicting stories that something about the license are good for 3 years, the training's only good for 2 years, and I like to be an intelligent, an actual, somebody knows what they're talking about.
Well, the training that you've already received is good indefinitely as of right now. They've not stipulated any specific amount of training for your initial certification beyond the 12 hours and then your renewal. So from a training perspective, nothing legally stipulated as to what you have to have. Common sense tells you, though, that you're going to need to stay up on your firearm skills. And that training is going to, you know, get to the range, practice your skills. And if you have a chance to get some sort of documented course of fire so that if ever you have to produce something, either if the legislature would enact such a law or if you would ever be called into court, you can show that you've had regular courses of qualification to demonstrate proficiency with your firearm. As far as renewal goes, 5-year renewal. And we just finished with a 4-year renewal with the original batch, and they're going to go to 5-year renewal with this next batch. And as far as the training goes, your original training certificate is still valid as long as it's from a bona fide school that met all the minimum training requirements.
Okay. Yeah, I got the 4-year thing, and it's up this year. So.
Yeah. And as far as the cost goes, that's pretty much up to the respective sheriff's departments. They're obviously permitted to attach some administrative processing fees, especially with economic times being the way they are. But from what we've heard, fees range from $45 to $65 for renewal, and we don't expect it to go up a whole lot more from that figure.
Okay, and I would have to go down to the corp to do that?
You have to go to the sheriff's office in either your county or an adjacent county. Yeah, to the Sheriff's Department. And I want to encourage you and the rest of our callers to make sure that you call ahead of time because with cutbacks being the way they are, this would be a section that they will probably have people manning or staffing only on a part-time basis, so you want to make sure you don't waste a trip. So please call ahead of time and ask them when they're accepting applications for renewal of the CC or CHL permits so that you'll make sure that you'll have somebody there when you show up.
Okay, thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling the show. Callers, I want to remind you out there at SimTrainer, our concealed carry class, we're proud to boast the fact that it's one of the best in the state of Ohio. Our class is not so much designed to teach you how to shoot, but to address the serious responsibility of owning a gun, carrying a gun, potentially using a gun in self-defense, both the criminal and civil ramifications of those issues. The class lasts about 15 hours. We offer it in a couple of different formats. We have a weekend format, which goes on Saturday and Sunday from 9 to 5. And then on alternate months, we have it during the week. It goes from 5:30 to 9:30 Monday through Thursday night. Our next class is September 26th and 27th. That's a Saturday-Sunday. And we have a few openings left in that, and I want to thank the listeners last week. We ran a special, and we had about 8 or 10 people take advantage of that special, and we're glad to have you in the class. We also offer the legal portion of that class as a standalone. For those of you who might have taken your concealed carry permit training elsewhere, you didn't get much legal training, as is typically the case. We have an attorney that comes in, and as I mentioned earlier, he talks about all the legal issues surrounding concealed carry, and it gives you a good basis of knowledge for which to start from a starting point, and you go through a variety of different scenarios to get you where you need to be. And I want to encourage you that if you're so inclined to take advantage of that. I want to point out, if you didn't happen to read the paper or hear on the news, there was an incident that occurred in the Dayton area this week where a law-abiding homeowner used his firearm to defend himself against attack in his own home. Three intruders broke into his home. Were in the process of stealing from him, but also put his granddaughter or daughter in harm's way. And he was able to take advantage of an opportunity and acquire his firearm that he kept for personal safety and self-defense in his house. He ended up shooting and killing one of the intruders, and the other two ran away. One of them later committed suicide up in Fairborn. And as far as I know, the third intruder is still at large. I haven't heard for sure. But what's interesting about that is it's not on the paper. It's not on the front page of the paper every day. In my personal opinion, it's because many of the anti-gun people, including the local newspaper, tend to they want to dramatize the opposite. You can bet that if the homeowner would have had a bad thing happen to him, that would have probably been smeared all over the front page of the paper for several days. But in this particular case, a legitimate law-abiding citizen used his firearm in self-defense, saved himself and his other family members from harm's way, yet it doesn't get a whole lot of press. He's a hero, and should be billed that way. Again, callers, I want to encourage you to call in with your questions and comments at 457-1290. You're listening to this episode of Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to this episode of Shooting from the Hip, brought to you by SimTrainer. I want to remind our listeners out there that this will be the last week we'll be on the air for about 11 or 12 weeks since we're being preempted by UD football. That doesn't mean that we're going to be out of sight and out of mind. I want to encourage you to stay tuned to WHIO throughout the week because we will be running various advertisements indicating that we're going to be doing activities at remote locations, at the range, and other locations throughout the Miami Valley. So we want to encourage you to take advantage of those. We're going to have some pretty interesting events planned, and just stay tuned to WHIO. Or you can call us at 937-293-3914. Or send us a email at radio@sim-trainer.com, or simply stop down the range at 2031 Dryden Road during our regular business hours and see what's going on, because we're going to have some interesting programming going on, including gun cleaning, legal updates, and things of that nature to keep you abreast of, or keep you stay tuned to what we got going on here. I want to mention another event that's coming up that my son, who works at UPS, he's a sales manager there. They have an interesting benefit. It's the United Way Trifecta Shoot. It's going to be held at the Middletown Sportsman's Club on Sunday, the 13th of September. It's a trifecta shoot at the Middletown Sportsman's Club on, I believe that's a Sunday, the 13th of September. Shooting is going to start at 10 a.m. They say here that you should plan on being there about 2 hours to shoot a trifecta, and that means you're going to be shooting a little skeet, a little trap, and a little bit of sporting clays, and it's going to be a world of fun, I will tell you. For those of you that haven't had an opportunity to be involved in this kind of shooting, it's really a good time. I was down there a couple weeks ago, got acclimated to the sport, and now I'm already looking for my gun and getting excited about sharing in the sport. The entry fee for the event is $40 with $25 fee is for youth. It includes lunch, prizes, and awards. And they will be selling shells on the scene, or you can bring your own. For additional information, contact Don England at the West Carrollton Feeders Organization at 937-286-9116. Again, that's the United Way UPS Trifecta Shoot at the Middletown Sportsman's Club on September 13th, beginning at 10 a.m. For additional information, contact the West Carrollton Feeders, Don England, at that location at 937-286-9116. Promises to be a lot of fun, and it'll be a great day for you to enjoy the shooting sports. Let's go back to the phone lines. We have Phil from New Paris has a question or comment about concealed carry. Phil, are you with us?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I am really confused about two laws that have to do with gun ownership in Ohio and the concealed carry.
Okay.
There's a misconception that people think that if a person has been convicted of a felony, they can't ever own a gun, but that's not what the law says. The law says only if the person has been convicted of a violent crime or drugs or something along those lines. 30 years ago, I had a theft conviction when I was younger. I'm almost 50 now. Have my own business and have to make money drops at the bank late. But anyway, as I read the law for carried and concealed permits, does it imply any felony?
Well, let me first of all let me start off by clarifying your initial comment. It does include any felony. The general law in the state of Ohio, as it is written, prohibits any felon from owning a firearm, period. The concealed carry booklet that comes along with the class makes it very clear by stating the law states that you must not be under indictment, charged, or convicted of a felony, period.
A felony, period.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
I'm looking at the law right now, and it says any felony offense of violence, child abuse, drugs, chronic alcoholism, and so forth. That's where I got so confused, because it says shall not carry, use, and acquire.
Well, let me ask you this. Where are you looking? What's your source document for looking at the language of the law?
I'm looking at a web page that's codesohio.gov.
Okay, well, that's okay, but I want you just to go to the Attorney General's website. Just put keyword search Ohio Attorney General and look up the actual language of the law as it is written versus going through a third party, and you can look at the specific aspects or the specific sections of the code, and that's going to be about in 29, 23, and then a subsection.
13.
Yeah, and when you look through the specific language of that law, it's going to, I'll just tell you, as a law enforcement officer, anybody that's been convicted of any felony is prohibited from owning firearms, period.
I will take your advice.
Yeah, and that's it. And here's the other thing I want you to do, okay?
Yeah.
I want you to give Steve Pearson, who's one of the sponsors of the show, a call. He's an attorney who specializes in this area of law. His number is 937-299-2995, and tell him you have a specific concern, and we directed you to him, and he can give you some information, and I would rather you hear it straight from an attorney,
right?
Because we try to kind of direct you as opposed to giving you specific legal advice. We want to get you to the person who's qualified and certified to give you specific advice about your particular problem, which you can discuss in the confidence of a private conversation.
I appreciate it very much.
You're welcome, and thank you for calling the show.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, let's go to Chris in Greenville. You have a question about holsters. Chris, are you there?
Yeah, can I say something about the last caller?
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
What about an expungement of record if he only has one felony?
Well, that's the issue that would come into play. If he gets it expunged, then his attorney would then file, and once that's off the record, then he could reapply and hopefully get it, because I'm aware of two cases where a person had certain offenses, one being a domestic violence, which wasn't a felony but was a misdemeanor, expunged, and the county issuing the permit still would not issue him the concealed carry permit, so he's ending up having to hire an attorney and to go through litigation in order to become certified.
Right. Okay. Well, I appreciate you having me on. I had a question about open carry.
Okay, go ahead with your question.
Yeah, that's legal everywhere, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. I'll tell you what, I'm going to have to go to a break. Stay on the line. We'll come back. I want to address that issue. You're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 News Talk Radio, WHIO.
God bless America. This is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome, listeners, back to this episode of Shooting from the Hip. Right before the break, I was on the line with Chris. Chris, are you still with us?
Yes, sir.
Chris, go ahead and ask your question again for the audience.
Well, you were talking of the tea parties, and they had these guys carrying guns.
Right.
And they were making a big issue of it. Where I live, you throw your bandolier on, your shotgun, you go to your friend's house, you go hunting. I don't understand why you're making a big deal of these people carrying firearms.
Well, they're really not making a big deal. It's just that the anti-gun people get a lot of the attention. The pro-gun people, they don't think much of it. It's the anti-gun people who make a big deal about people legitimately carrying their gun. I'll tell you that the first Dayton Tea Party held downtown created a lot of controversy, because that was an open-air forum where everybody was, in fact, permitted and legally authorized to carry their firearm. But there was a tent there that had a sign put up on it that said, by order of the Montgomery County Sheriff, no firearms on premises. Well, they can't preclude the firearms in an open-air public location. And that was an issue of contention that they ultimately conceded that they were wrong in doing that. They didn't realize it. The people whose tent that it was actually on weren't pro or anti-gun. They just said that somebody came and put the sign up, and so they just thought that it was legitimate. And they, in fact, apologized. And that brought up an issue, and we took care of it on one of the radio shows. But I want to remind you, as you say, basically carrying a firearm is legal once you have your permit. And as far as open carry, there's no question that's legal. The problem is it draws unnecessary attention to yourself. And I don't want in any way detract from your intentions or other people who think about doing that. But one of the major benefits and one of the major much of the reasoning behind concealed carry was that they were going to be carried concealed to give people the tactical advantage if they needed to use it in self-defense. So the open carry really does nothing. I can't see much advantageous about it. Now, when you're talking about throwing your rifle on your shoulder and going over to your buddy's house and then going out in the field and hunting and that sort of thing, that's a totally different game. And I just like you to clarify.
Well, it kind of runs the same line, doesn't it? I'm walking down the street and people look at me.
Crazy. They're going to look at you, but you know you're not crazy, right?
Right.
They're crazy. So don't worry about it.
They're conservative.
Well, they're the ones that just don't understand the whole game. And what's really interesting about that, Chris, is that those same people, they want to be able to exercise their First Amendment right, and they don't want me as a police officer to trample on their Fourth Amendment right against unreasonable searches and seizures, or their Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination, or their Sixth Amendment right, a right to a counsel, but yet they're going to trample on yours and my Second Amendment right. They don't understand the whole protocol. You see what I'm saying? They just don't get it. And it's going to be a process. We got to return to back, many years ago, it wasn't such a big deal when somebody did what you just said, grabbed their shotgun or their rifle, and they went out in the field, and they went plinking, they went over to their buddy's house. It wasn't a big deal in rural America. Urban America, it's a different game just because of the nature of the beast. But you're exactly right. I think that we're moving in that direction. It's going to be a very slow process, and there's going to be people out there who are going to look at us like we're crazy, but they're the one, they don't understand. They're naive. We just have to educate them.
In the 80s, like you said, nobody even batted an eye. You just walked right by them.
Right. There's plenty of places where, all through time, out west, I've been out to Lake Tahoe, that area in Nevada, and people don't even think twice about somebody carrying a gun. A lot of the Western states in particular, and it's mostly urban America, and it's related to a lot of the issues and the misconceptions that the media portray concerning guns, but we're overcoming that. I mean, we're winning the battle. It's just going to be long and drawn out, and you got to continue to fight the fight.
Good enough.
Thank you for your call, Chris.
Hey, thanks.
Okay, let's go to Timothy in Kettering. You have a question about picking out gun classes or a gun in classes. Are you with us, Tim? Tim, are you there? Okay, hopefully, Tim, if you're still on the line or if you're still listening, give us a call back and we'll get you on the air. Let's try Jim in Greenville, business gun rules. Jim, are you there?
Yes. I've got a question. A couple weeks ago, you were talking about businesses that have the sign up.
Yes, sir.
CCW.
Right.
And what kind of legal... are they liable for me or any of my family if I can't defend myself?
Well, civil libel is a whole different world, and that's one of the arguments that we make, that when you put people in a situation where they can't defend themselves and something bad comes upon their shoulders, well, I mean, from a civil standpoint, remember, the rules of evidence and the way they do civil trials, it's basically 50%, 50.01 to 49.99% of the likelihood that the one party is prevailing over the other. So let's take your argument that if you're in a business where an armed robber comes in and, God forbid, but someone sustains injury that they would have otherwise been able to prevent had they had a gun, there may be a civil action that would be actionable in that particular situation. And that's something that I have personally told some of the business owners, that the bad guys don't ever obey the rules. So it's kind of ridiculous to take the sign and put it up there and restrict the law-abiding citizens from carrying their guns when the bad guys never obey the rules. I've been a policeman for going on 25 years, and I can't remember the last time I responded to an armed robbery where the people with the bank said he hesitated briefly and looked at the sign before he came in the bank. They just don't pay attention to the rules. It's the good guys that are affected by those signs. But as far as your question goes, that would be a civil issue that would be actionable in a civil proceeding.
Because I notice any time there's a shooting, it's usually in a gun-free zone.
Well, it depends. Just for an example, I gave earlier, I mentioned the shooting that occurred in an individual's private residence. A lot of the incidents occur there. A lot of them happen in open-air, public situations, parking lots, places of that nature. There are some that happen in gun-free zones, and I assume you're talking about a lot of the school shootings and other shootings where you have captive audiences and basically target-rich environment. Nobody can defend themselves. It's a very unfortunate circumstance, and we mentioned this several shows ago where we practice fire drills in schools, but we don't allow teachers and staffs to have firearms to prevent people who might come in and start shooting. And yet, over time, we've lost way more people in active shooter situations in schools than we ever have in fires in schools. So,
right.
Yeah, your rationale and you're on the right track. We just have to continue to push that agenda because the anti-gun people who are naive and don't understand all the facts. We tell people they're basically sheep. They don't realize that without somebody that can defend themselves, the police may not make it there on time. They're sheep, and they're going to be slaughtered. And we got to kind of change the thinking.
Right. Okay. And I love your show.
Well, thank you very much. And again, remember to stay tuned to WHIO, even though we're going to be leaving the airways for the next 10 to 12 weeks because we're being preempted by UD football. We're still going to have a variety of commercials directing people to some of our remote locations where we're going to have alternative programming going on. And also want to mention that we're engaging in partnerships with several of the local gun owner or gun dealerships and recreational shooting sports facilities. I want to point out a couple. Of course, I always encourage people to patronize our sponsors, Vandalia Tactical at 312 North Dixie Drive in Vandalia, Ohio. You can call them at 264-8432 and also give Steve Pearson, our attorney advisor, a call at 299-2995. But I want to also, when I come back from the break, I'm going to talk about some of those partnerships that we're getting into with some of the area businesses, and also want to encourage callers to call in at 457-1290. We'll take your calls. You're listening to this episode of Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Rachel Parsons, spokesperson for the National Rifle Association, and you're on Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to this episode of Shooting from the Hip. I want to remind our callers they can call in at 457-1290 if you have any questions, concerns, comments you'd like to make about anything related to guns, gun-related issues. We have another caller on the line. I want to go to James in Kettering. You have a question or comment about open carry. James, are you with us?
Yes, I do. I got an age like me, and I'm kind of curious about, you were talking about, like, let's say, for example, Skyline Chili is now posted, can't carry concealed weapons in the property.
Okay.
Would I be allowed to open carry there?
No, sir. It's no weapons. It's not just concealed carry. It's no weapons on private property.
Okay. That'd work. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Thank you for calling. Again, let me just clarify. That sign that goes up, typically the state law that was passed way back in 2004 when the initial concealed carry law was passed, authorized private businesses on their own to post that sign stating no guns allowed on the premises. Now, what talking to several of the business owners, what they did is they consulted with their legal counsel, and because most of them had no idea what we were getting into, had no idea what the implications or ramifications of concealed carry were going to be, they said, wait a minute, we feel that we're going to err on the side of safety, so we'll go ahead and put the sign up, and we're not going to let anybody have a gun on the premises. It was an overreaction, quite frankly, and it really wasn't thought through. It really wasn't thought through. I talked to them on a fairly frequent basis early on, and I intermittently have an opportunity to talk with some of the private business owners, and I'm not at liberty to mention, but in a few cases where I was able to actually sway them to take the sign down because I convinced them that there was really no advantage to having it up. Matter of fact, there might be some advantage to allowing legitimate law-abiding citizens to defend themselves and defend others in situations like that. So those are some of the issues, and I want to encourage you. One of the reasons we undertook this project and we wanted to get this this radio show is we wanted to air your concerns, and we wanted to give you a forum so you could express your concerns, and then in turn, we want to encourage all of you to utilize the legislative process to continue with the momentum that we've gained and take advantage of kind of the downswing on some of the things that the anti-gun people are talking about. And let's continue to carry the torch and get some things done and do some positive things along the way of legislation. I'm going to go back to the phone lines. We have Mark from Dayton has a question about BB guns. Mark, are you there?
Yes. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for calling.
Oh, you're fine. This is my first time calling, so I'm a little nervous. But
it's all right.
I wanted to ask, my son just turned 12, and I was thinking about purchasing a pellet gun from Walmart. And I know they have different kinds of BBs. Like, they got the copperheads, and they also have what they call, I think it's made of plastic pellets. And I want to know how safe were those for our kids, and what would be a good age to introduce them to it?
Well, let me ask you, first of all, do you live within the city limits or in a rural area?
I live in the city limits, Harrison Township.
Okay, well, if you live in the township, I think you're going to be okay, but I want you to contact your township trustee's office and find out if they have any prohibition against air rifle projectiles being fired. They probably don't. Many of the cities do because of the close nature of houses and urban settings. But out in the rural communities, particularly in the townships, they typically don't. So you're okay there. The first thing you want to think about is where you're going to let him shoot it. And you got to come up with a safe area to make sure the impact area is not going to in any way affect any of your neighbors, or there's not a chance of an errant shot going someplace where it shouldn't go and harming someone or damaging someone's property. So I want to just premise my response on that. Secondly, as far as that goes, you got a couple of options. You can get a BB gun, which are the round cylindrical projectiles, or you can get a pellet gun, which have a flat surface, or another option would be an airsoft gun, which is a plastic projectile. Yes, that would be good. That's not a BB gun. It's called airsoft. And the advantage to that is you can do that in the basement of your home or in your garage simply by putting up a blanket and giving an adequate backdrop, and you can put some targets on the blanket, and then you provide a safe area, and all those will drop down onto the ground, and you put them, make sure that you collect all those, and you can reuse them after you clean them. So
yeah, I was thinking. They're made out of plastic, all right?
That's correct. That's a very good option for teaching the basic fundamentals, safety, grip, sight alignment, trigger control, and getting him ready for when you might ultimately purchase a .22 or other caliber real weapon and take him to a range and give him the opportunity to shoot. Another option I want to give you is to encourage you to at least look into our First Shots class. We offer a First Shots class, which is offered at least once a month. You can check our website at sim-trainer.com or call us down at the range at 293-3914, and you can find out about the First Shots class. It would be a great opportunity for you and him to learn firearm safety, basic functional operation of a .22 pistol, and then have a chance to go out into a climate-controlled, safe environment out on our indoor range and get a chance to shoot.
What was that website again?
It's sim-trainer.com. That's S as in Sam, I-M-trainer.com.
Okay. Hey, thanks for answering my question. You have a good day.
Okay, you do. Thanks for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's go with Paul in Indian Lake. You have a question about signs being posted somewhere. Paul, you still with us?
Yes, sir, I am.
What can we do with you, sir?
A friend of mine just said that that the signs that are posted, that the fine print stated if you're legally, you can carry a firearm, I have a right to carry, you can still go into the premises. Would that be a private citizen?
No, that's not a private citizen. That's a law enforcement officer or other individual that's lawfully authorized to carry in those exempted areas. It applies to people like myself that are bona fide police officers who are authorized to carry. The fine print applies to us. It doesn't apply to lawful citizens like yourself who have a concealed carry permit. And make sure that you understand the difference there.
Right. Okay. I appreciate your time.
That's a very good question. Thank you for calling. And I want to let the listeners make sure everybody clearly understands that the fine print below some of those signs states that unless you're specifically exempted by a certain provision of the ORC, and that applies to law enforcement officers and the like, it doesn't apply to law-abiding citizens. Unfortunately at this time, but over time, we suspect those things are going to change, and we want to continue to give you the opportunity, encourage you to play a part in the legislative process and call your congressmen and representatives and see if we can get those things changed. Let's go to Dave from Laura. He has a call, a concern also about no-carry zones. Dave, you with us?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead with your question or comment.
Okay, I am a volunteer coordinator with Ohioans for Concealed Carry.
Yes, sir.
And on our website, under the Services tab, we do have a listing of the businesses that have been submitted to the Do Not Patronize While Armed database. Now, this is just a database that contains businesses that have been submitted to us, and they've been looked at as carefully as we can, and we do rely on just the user's input to keep us informed time to time if these places are either still in business or if they say they do have a sign up or the sign has been removed for whatever reason.
Okay, Dave, would you tell us, tell our audience one more time where they can find that information out?
Well, that's on our website. It's www.ohioccw.org.
Okay, listeners, be sure to check that out. And then during times of economic hardship, I'm sure that some of those people might rethink their decision whether or not to prohibit you from entering into or upon their premises. Dave, I'd also like you to, I'd like to encourage you to give us a, an email. Drop us an email at radio@sim-trainer.com. And when we come back on the air in the late fall, early winter, I'd like to have you in and you can talk about your organization and some of the things you do to advance the shooting sports. Would you be willing to do that?
Wonderful. I'd love to. One of us or some of the other ones in the Dayton, Cincinnati area would be wonderful to be great to be on the show.
That's great. If you, since you called us, we'll let you be the kind of the referral person. If you'll just drop us a an email at radio@sim-trainer.com, and we'll get you scheduled there when we come back on the air.
Okay? Wonderful. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, listeners, I just want to remind everybody this is our last live show for several weeks. We will be preempted by UD football. However, stay tuned to WHIO. Throughout the week, we'll be sending or broadcasting numerous commercials directing you to places where you can come for the next 10 or 12 weeks, both at the range and at some of the remote locations. And we will also keep you abreast on some of the legislative issues. Make sure that you visit the website at sim-trainer.com. Stay tuned to the things that are going on, and we'd be glad to see you down at the range entering or enrolling in some of our classes, becoming a member and shooting recreationally and advancing the shooting sports. We're going to continue to do our part, and we're certainly glad for your following. Looking forward to a great renewal when we come back. You've been listening to this episode of Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 95.7 FM News Talk Radio WHIO.